Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. Hello and welcome to a fucked up episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. Jesus Christ. I'm on your host, Dano, and with me as always, also with a fucked up team. Jesus Christ, he doesn't have a kid. Welcome, Pat.
Jesus. Yes, hello, Pie Man. Hello, listeners. absolute carnage this week. Hard to put down a run sheet because people don't have trades, but we still have plenty of great options to get you through the next 2 weeks if you are lucky enough to have trades. But we'll also have a little chat about next year as well, because most of us are looking at 2025.
Yeah. We'll start off with someone that's not looking at 2025, and that is Matthew with his team Bangers Boys, because he's our group winner. So what did he score, Paddo, and who did he have?
So he scored a 2,582, which sounds a lot, and it is a lot. So great job, Matthew. But there was a 2,900 on the weekend, Dano, who got the first for the week, which is pretty crazy. And I think he had, who was it, had a 60 on field?
Oh, he had Dacos.
Yeah.
He had so Dacos a 60-odd on field.
Pretty crazy. But what's interesting about Bangers Boys or Matthew's team was VC'd Zach Butters, who scored 131, and had the captain on Bontempelli, who scored 119. So I would take 130 every day of the week as my VC, but that's just me. But didn't matter for Matthew there.
He may have gone up against someone, and he might have been focused on head-to-head with like a Tristan Cherry or a Maxi Gorn as taking their captain's gorn. So
possibly, for sure. So Sheezel, Luke Ryan in defense went massive for him. McCurcher's in his midfield, but he went nuts as well. Pretty crazy how he is playing. Tom Green has found some form again. Very nice to see. Gordon Grundy in ruck, nice and reliable, getting 260-odd points from those two. Heaney looks like he's back, got a 144. James Peatling in the forward line there, Dano, and maybe one to watch for 2026 potentially.
Just bypassing next year. 2025.
Okay, yeah, 2025 is what I meant if I said 2026. Jai Caldwell up forward, who has lost form with Parrish coming into the team, which I did float. Interestingly enough, didn't even bother with a loophole with Clayton Oliver, who's a nice big 38 on his bench there. So, yeah, not good. Pretty stock standard team apart from those guys. But, yeah, great job, Matthew. You got the weekly high score for this week.
Yeah, now we'll go on to what Paddo on the run sheet. Fuck me dead. I'm not having it today. Little bit of context, Paddo. You don't know this, but I got massively stressed last week and my tongue actually got paralyzed. So I've only just regained talking a bit, like, without pain and whatnot, probably yesterday. So I'm glad that we're doing this podcast today. But I've sprayed my tongue to take off some of the pain for this. But it's like one of those antiseptic numbing ones for your throat. So it's actually numbed the front of my tongue and half my tongue. So I'm really struggling right now. So if I do say the wrong words, it's because I'm trying to focus on getting the words out, but I am correcting myself.
Yeah, same.
So what Paddo has deemed as injuries/carnage on our run sheet. So the first one, Harry Sheezel. He's got a test, listed as test this week, considered a doubt. I fucking hope he plays.
So he actually, since I did this run sheet, he was on radio, I think Triple M or something, and said that he will not play this week. Fuck. And he's going to try and get up for round 24. So he is now ruled out for this week.
Oh, Francis Evans, Logan Evans. Whichever Evans I have on my bench, step up this week, please. All right. Well, there's Harry Sheezel. Tim English, ankle was listed as doubtful, but I got told that he might miss the next two games, Paddo.
Yeah, no, he's all but ruled out for this week.
Yep. And potentially next week too.
Yeah.
Which is a blockbuster one. Clayton Oliver, knee, finger, ribs, nose, fucking butt, fucking everything. Bag has a hole in it. Season gone.
Yeah, hopefully it is actually injury and not like last year that was a hamstring that was actually a nostril. But he's in 13,000 teams still, so if you have a trade, you're going to have to get rid of him. He might get a mention later in this podcast, Dano. I think you might know where we're going with that.
Yep, agreed. Now, here we go, the fucking Blues boys. Charlie Kerno, ankle. You said 1 to 2 weeks, but I've been told it's the rest of the home and away season, so it's definitely two. So, Jesse Hogan Coleman?
Maybe.
Lock it in, Eddie. Fuck you, Charlie Kerno. Harry Mackay, quad 1 to 2 weeks, Pato. This is getting devastating for the Blues.
What a shame.
Yeah, what a shame. And then Adam Saad, hamstring, 1 to 2 weeks, Pato. Oh, my God.
Another Blues hamstring, yeah. So we were actually talking before we started recording about Carlton and what they might do with that forward line. Dano seems to think that maybe Cripps will play full forward, which actually you might take a big bag because they've got West Coast this week. But
I fucking reckon that's the go considering, and we're not doing these anymore because no one's trading down to fucking rookies and whatnot. If you are, fuck you. But Cooper Lord, who's been killing the VFL as a midfielder, is going to make his debut this week. So that's my theory behind Cripps playing up forward, is the fact that they've got West Coast and they'll put their faith into Cooper Lord and put Cripps up forward. If it's not working, they'll just sub Cooper Lord out, put Cripps back in the midfield, and then maybe Chuck McGovern if he's fit enough to go up forward.
Yeah, so I feel like what they'll do is they'll play McGovern up forward, maybe bring in a Lewis Young or something to play fullback. They really don't have too many options of people that have actually played AFL footy, so they may still bring in an unproven guy. So I haven't seen this, Dano, but you've said that Cooper Lord is confirmed as playing, but he's a midfielder.
That's what I mean.
So do they bring in an Alex Murkoff and play a makeshift sort of ruck forward and he finally gets his debut or whatnot? Like, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I feel like McGovern goes forward and plays against his brother.
I reckon it'll be Cripps up forward and Cooper Lord in the middle.
Maybe. We'll see.
And then if it doesn't work, Cripps just pushes up the ground and acts like an extra midfielder. See how Vossie goes, if he's even going to be there. here we go. Sean Darcy, knee soreness, test. This is the last one we got.
Yeah. If you brought him in, suggested him, a month ago, 6 weeks ago? Sorry. Luke Jackson got the late call-up to play ruck and only got 81, which I thought was interesting against Geelong and Reece Stanley. But Jackson owners will be hoping that Darcy doesn't get up from that test, because I would love for him to come in and cover English for me, even though I don't really have anyone to cover Livingston who goes into my forward line. But hopefully Hutchinson comes in.
Yeah. Now we'll talk some trading options. Do we do the honourable mention for the first one now, Pato? Because we don't have him on the run sheet.
Yeah, we'll jump into the first one, who actually should be in this list.
Yeah, that's Tom Stewart for everyone playing at home. Why is he an honourable mention, Pato? Because realistically, we should have put him on, but we're stretched for time.
Yeah, so I know he's coming off a poorer game on the weekend. He's 577K, but he plays St Kilda this week and West Coast next week, which if you were to choose two matchups for a guy that plays his role or a defender, I mean, it's probably St Kilda-Richmond, but West Coast is probably going to be your third option. So that run is pretty crazy. Now, Stewart scored 105 against St Kilda in round one this year, and that was sort of like, He was struggling in defense before he had this change of role. And then last year against the Eagles, Tom Stewart had 135. So I think it's a really great option. He could score 280 plus in his last two games this year. So I think he's a really great trading option for a Sheasel type. Maybe not option one, because I think the first guy we're going to talk about that's on the run sheet might be a better option. But I certainly would not begrudge anyone for bringing in Tom Stewart. I think this is a great trading option.
Yeah. Now we'll start with the actual ones that we got on the run sheet. So the first one, Nick Newman, 517K, 100 average, 112, 5-round average, and in 3% of teams. We mentioned him previously. Now with no Saad, fucking beautiful. Great run home, scoring well. POD central with this one, Paddo. And, yeah, if I was going to bring in a defender, if I had the cash for this, to be honest, he'd be my pick.
Yeah, I think he'd be option one for me as well. So I'm looking at the kick-in numbers right now. Adam Saad had 7 kick-ins on the weekend, which was the most for Carlton. Second most was Jeremy McGovern with 5, who I think will play forward. And Nick Newman was 3rd with 4 against the Hawks on the weekend. So he should have a lion's share of kick-ins. Now, there may not be too many kick-ins this weekend against the Eagles, Dano, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles won this game. So maybe there will be more than what we think. But he's also got St Kilda next week. So he has the same 2 teams than Tom Stewart, that Tom Stewart does, just in the opposite order. So Nick Newman at 60K cheaper than Tom Stewart, I think will score even more than Tom Stewart.
Lock it in, Eddie. We'll move on to, which when I said, this next bloke's Colby McKercher, 508K, 88 average, got 114 3-round average in 19% of teams. His last game, and again, this is what pisses me off, Paddo. A week is a long time in Supercoach. Now, this was the 3rd guy that I was actually considering bringing in for Charlie Kerno, but I gave Kerno 1 more week. Fucking shit happens. And now I can't afford any of the 3 guys that I was looking at. But McKercher, he scored 146 last round. Fucking beautiful. This kid we'll mention later as well, for obvious reasons, once people realise what we're going to talk about later. Yeah, it's either him or Nick Newman for me, if you can get him in and you need a defender. Or even a midfielder, honestly, Paddo. If I was going for a mid, he'd be one of the mids I'd select too.
Yeah, especially if you're strapped for cash and can only get to him. Speaking of kick-ins, before, McKercher had 11 out of 12 kick-ins on the weekend against the Eagles. So obviously got the majority there. This just randomly came to me, Dano. What happens if McKercher replaces Sheasel's role and plays midfield? Because North Melbourne don't have a bunch to play for, and McKercher was drafted as a midfielder.
I think that they'll keep him still at halfback. I don't think they already experimented with him in the midfield this year, give him some of those games. I don't think they will.
And you've got Wardlaw that could come in from his concussion as well. So it probably doesn't happen.
I think they'll probably keep Tommy Powell. Who was the other one? High draft pick. Will Phillips played as well, didn't he? He played all right.
Yeah, 41% CBAs on the weekend.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that McKercher will stay off that halfback. From what Clarko said, is just he's jizzing over the fact that they can get supply from this guy off halfback flank.
And he's quick too.
Yeah, so I don't think he'll move. I actually think that even though he's drafted as a midfielder, I think he's found a home at halfback flank and he'll be there for the next few years.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. And
super coach.
A current average of 88, if he can keep that below sort of 95, which probably isn't going to happen unless he gets a really hard tag against Hawthorn in round 24. But he'll be a great price for next year.
Correct. And our last one for defense is Jeremy McGovern at 589K, 111 average, 126 3-round average in 5% of teams. Holy fuck. This bloke is always one to two players every season that are old fucks that decide that they want to have a career best year in Supercoach. There's always 1 to 2. And they pop off out of nowhere, and it's Jeremy McGovern this year. And fuck me dead, has he played well. 155 last weekend, Paddo. And Carlton this week, no Twin Towers. Knowing Carlton's game plan, they're still going to fucking pepper it up tall, thinking that they got the fucking Twin Towers up there, and Jeremy McGovern will just float across and intercept mark everything.
Yeah, agreed. Carlton this week, Geelong next week. If you're going to take the fly at him, you may as well do it now. The injury risk, is always there with Jeremy McGovern, but... Oh,
2 rounds.
2 rounds, 2 weeks.
2 fucking rounds. Let's go. We'll move on to midfielders now, and we'll do the honourable mention again first, Paddo. Usually people do them last, but I want to do them first. So Noah Anderson was our honourable mention for this one. Why is he an honourable mention, Paddo?
So Noah Anderson is averaging for the season. I just need to find him. Bear with. So for the season, he's averaging 105, which isn't bad. His price of 491K, which is really good. But, and I haven't crunched the raw data, but where did I hear it? I think the official Supercoach podcast came out and said that Anderson is averaging about 130-odd at People First Stadium. And he plays there this weekend against Melbourne, who are not restrictive at all. Clayton Oliver goes out of that midfield. Who's even going to play in that midfield, Dano? Who knows? Mind you, Noah Anderson last year at that venue against Melbourne scored 189, if you don't mind. So obviously pretty juicy there. I can see him. He will probably won't get 190, but he will go big. I'm pretty confident of that. Then he plays Richmond in round 24 at the MCG, and his last three against Richmond at all venues are 122, 144, and 154. So obviously pretty juicy. Averages 136.5 against Richmond in four games with a low of 122. So I think Anderson is a great trade-in option for the last 2 weeks. And if you cannot get above this price range, and sorry, Dano, close your ears, Noah Anderson would be option probably number one for me.
Yes. Well, we'll move on to the actual ones that we had on the list. So his teammate was and this was number two, Paddo. Probably number two option that I was actually going to go with, if not number one, for trading out Kerno too. And that's Matt Rowell at 458K, 103 average, 110.3 round average, 16% of teams. He looks back and he looks fit and he looks firing. And I don't know what the fuck's happened, whether he's over his injuries, because we suspected that he's been carrying an injury and just playing every week, because Dimmer likes to do that, doesn't he, Paddo?
He does, yes.
He does. So, yeah, he looks back and he looks a bargain. And if you've held, if you're in the, 16% of teams that held him, loop him off the motherfucking bench if you are. He's back, baby.
So, yeah, obviously has the same run home as Noah Anderson. Now, he doesn't quite average as much as Noah at People First Stadium, but Melbourne and Richmond for inside mids are very nice matchups. Not sure Melbourne really have a matchup for Rowell, especially negating-wise. He'll probably just run head-to-head against Jack Viney. And Jack Viney, I heard, handed in a trade request along with Alex Neil Bullen. So everything is falling apart at Melbourne, which is interesting to see. And then Richmond, who have nothing to play for. They've only got Jagger Smith to play for. So nice matchup there. Richmond aren't tagging Matt Rowell. So I think a really great option. I personally don't hope he scores too high for the next 2 weeks, selfishly for next year, but I can see him going really well in these next 2 weeks. So I think Rowell is a great trade-in option at a really great price. And I think it's pretty clear that he was dealing with an injury in that sort of 6 to 8 week period that he was scoring terribly.
Yeah. Agreed. Next one we got is a discounted Josh Dunkley. He's now 545K, 111 average, Paddo. Imagine being able to get an 111 average player at 545K in 11% of teams. Last two games, he's up against two teams that don't tag at all. And, yeah, a bit of a luxury if he can get Josh Dunkley at 545K, honestly.
Yeah, he will certainly average more than 111 for the rest of the year. Collingwood this week, Essendon in round 24. Both of those teams, are they both ruled out of finals, Dano? I'm not even looking at the top eight lately because Richmond are not very good. But regardless, Brisbane have a lot more to play for than Collingwood or Essendon. They are trying to sew up that top four spot to get a home final or two.
Yeah. Now, we've got Errol Goulden's our next one, Paddo. 555K, 109 average in 36% of teams. Another one that has a good run home. Now, I can't remember. Has he actually hit 100% time on ground like we predicted that he would at some stage this season?
I doubt it.
Just going to double check because that was his mission, was to hit 100%. Errol Goulden, let's have a quick squeeze. Jesus, fuck, he didn't have a great game against Collingwood, did he?
No, Collingwood randomly tagged him, which was very interesting.
Yeah, he didn't get 100% there. Let's look at the round before. Yeah, well, obviously something was working to do that. And then they got pumped the week before. So we'll quickly look at that. And yeah, so he's almost getting there. Yeah, so yeah, to be honest, I'm not looking at Errol Gordon. Like, if I had the money, I wouldn't look at him. I'd probably look at more of a Josh Dunkley or even the Matty Rowell side of things. And I know that sounds weird, but yeah.
So I just want to point out Errol Goulden's last three games against Essendon Reid, 149, 152, 130. Obviously, very, very good. And Adelaide, the recent history isn't quite as big, but they've shown that they give up pretty big points to opposition mids slash wings. So I think is a pretty decent option for the last two games. Sydney need to bounce back and show something for the finals. Otherwise, they are in danger of going out in straight sets with how bad their form is. So I don't think Errol Gordon is a horrible option.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a horrible option. I'm just saying that I think, me personally, I'd be looking at Rowell or Dunkley. That's just me, though. Errol Gordon can go out and average 140 over the next two. Prove me wrong. probably will now. Jason Horne-Francis is our last one for the mids. I know, the horny one, Paddo. 498K, 100 average, 121, three-round average. And look, he's finishing this. He might, well, I think it was only the one game where he's popped off in the last few weeks. Let me just double
check. Well, his last two are 124, 141.
So, and yeah, and before that it was 98, 78, 46, 87, 118.
I just want to point out, though, Dano, so he's seen a slight uptick in his CBAs the last 3 weeks. So against the Demons, he had 89% CBAs, which is, oh, no, didn't he have 33%? I was looking at Willem Drew. Never mind.
yeah. Anyway. Sorry, I fucking lost my shit there.
But I just want to say, like, we could be seeing a bit of an early breakout, Dano. Like, keen, like, experienced super coaches like to point out and try and recognize that last sort of month to 6 weeks of these guys before they break out the next year. I can't think of who we singled out last year to be this next breakout guy, but it was Tom Green, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Possibly. Anyway, so we could be seeing it. So if he goes in the last four rounds this year of sort of 110 plus, I think he comes into considerations for next year.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, agreed. Ruck. We'll go to the ruck. We don't have any honourable mentions. We just have two people on here. Anyway, Rowan Marshall, the first one, 604K, 110 average, 123, five-round average, 11%. Insane last two games, Paddo. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be trading out their rucks.
Well, Tim English owners might.
Oh, true. Yeah, fucking Tristan Cherry probably be the one on everyone's, but I think he's too expensive now.
I mean, 683K.
Yeah.
With a three-round of 160, if you don't mind, and a break-even of 69.
Yeah, he's doing that Sean Darcy run.
Yeah.
Sean Darcy had like a 170 average over 3 weeks.
Yep. And Cherry will be rucking against someone that's not Tim English this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, Rowan Marshall, one to consider, Paddo.
Yeah. Geelong this week, Carlton in round 24. So it's a really good 2 week run. Hopefully with them ruled out of finals, he doesn't get rested for a week, which would just be a Ross Lyon thing to do. But provided he plays, I can see two 120 plus scores in those 2 weeks if he can get to Rowan Marshall. Although Gorn is cheaper, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, true that.
But Gorn's run home isn't as good.
Yeah. The other one that we got on the list, and I feel dirty saying this, Paddo, absolutely dirty, considering one of my faves I want to ruck over him. That's Riley O'Brien. 553K, 95 average. He's got 119 three-round average. Ultra POD at 1% of teams.
Ultra POD. So
yeah.
His last four games, Dono, are 115, 124, 117, 117. So on a tear, this guy gets bulk hitouts. He's just got to do better with them. That's sort of always been his stickler. But He has Port Adelaide this week and Jordan Sweet, and then he has Grundy and Sydney in round 24. So that is SCG Grundy. So that the run home isn't quite as good as Rowan Marshall's, but Riley O'Brien is on a bit of a tear and is in less than 1% of teams. So could be a nice option.
Yep. Now we'll go on to the forward line, Paddo. This is where we have the interesting ones.
This is where it gets fun.
Oh, yeah. So all of you Charlie Kerno fucking owners, listen up because this one's for you. So if you can only go down from Charlie Kerno, we're going to give you some options. The first one is going down from Charlie Kerno. So our first one is Sam Darcy, 381K, 75 average, 10% owned. He will probably be number one ruck, Paddo, for the next couple of weeks.
I would say he will ruck in English's absence, which makes him an attractive proposition, I would say. This is crazy. This is absolute madness. If you do actually bring him in, it's kind of crazy, but I can see it working out. This guy is a freak, and I think it would take him. If he can get an 80% CBA game with no Tim English, I can see him being like Sam De Koning when he was rocking. That's how good I think Sam Darcy can be. And it wouldn't shock me if he goes sort of maybe 100 this week against North Melbourne, but then GWS round 24 on Mars, he could fucking bring the Rover home and just score 180.
Yeah, agreed. We'll move on to one. If you've got the cash to go up from Charlie Kerno, it's Tom Powell at 425K, 82 average. He's got 110 three-round average and in just 6% of teams. Like we were discussing just before about Colby McKercher, would he play midfield with Sheasel out this week? My answer is no, and that Tom Powell will be one of those guys in the engine room. And, yeah, he seemed to have sort of found himself again, Paddo.
Yeah, the slight concern here is, so he's got 110 three-round average, which is obviously really good, but that's come against Geelong, Richmond and West Coast, who are really good inside mid oppositions. And he comes up against the Bulldogs this week and Hawthorn in round 24. So the matchup and run home isn't great, but I don't think it's a horrible option. I think maybe I prefer the next guy, but Powell isn't a horrible option.
Yeah. So the next guy, and this is where it gets interesting. So Matt Kennedy, the Blues bro, 398K, 76 average in 1% of teams. So you got 119 on the weekend with 56% CBAs. And then, he was the sub the previous week, 42% CBAs or something. Got a 75. He's got West Coast this week. Must win game. This is where I think they will put that Cooper Lord kid in the middle and they will push Cripps up forward. I think Bam Bam is going to be in that middle. He's going to be in the middle and they forced his hand, forced Voss's hand to play Bam Bam in the middle. So I can see it working out. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm probably going to jump on him in AFL Fantasy and surprisingly, a fantasy form. I have trades left in Dano because it's impossible to run out of them. I think, yeah, Kennedy plays bulk midfield minutes these last 2 weeks. West Coast and St Kilda is a pretty good run home. Had 119 against Hawthorn, which is actually a tough matchup. Last week, 63 minutes on ground and scored a 75 in less than a full game, obviously, and that was 42% CBAs. We know about Kennedy. We know that when he gets CBAs, he scores well. It's just really unfortunate that he plays in a team that has Patrick Cripps, Sam Walsh, George Hewitt, Adam Chera, etc.
Adam Chera is always injured, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think this is a really great option for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Short-term plays, these are everyone. Now, if you've got the luxury of getting up to 501K, you can go Dylan Moore, 95 average, 19% owned. He's got Richmond this week. Let's go for a big one, Paddo.
Yeah, Dylan Moore.
Need I say more?
should go big.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Paddo, I don't even know if we got any questions, but I'm going to just go into our 2025 midfield discussion. So you got listed first down, potential breakouts. Who you got?
So I sort of mentioned it before. I don't mind Horn Francis as a bit of a breakout for next year.
Yep.
So this is sort of trying to target the younger guys that could get their average up to a, sort of 110, which is what you want to target. Chad Warner would be an interesting one if he gets to Frio and gets some midfield minutes, even though I don't know who he knocks out of that midfield, so he might still play on a wing, but interesting one to think about. I really like Matt Rowell, and the problem is you can't pick like three or four of these guys. You kind of have to nail the one that breaks out the biggest.
Yep.
But there are a couple of guys I like in this range. Will Day is an interesting one. If he has an uninterrupted preseason, I could be tempted by him, especially if Connor Nash leaves, which is a big rumor. So I wouldn't hate a Will Day start if he's uninterrupted in the preseason.
Yep.
I'm going to go a little bit cheaper. So George Wardlaw, I like as a breakout for next year. I think he fits the profile of someone that could like really break out and become a real super coach stud in the same vein of a Clayton Oliver. Speaking of Clayton Oliver, I know what people are going to say, but I really like him for next year, presuming he gets through preseason without any hitches or nasal problems.
We're going into fall and pre-mes here. Let's stick to the...
Because
there's a lot of fallen primos.
There is. So Will Ashcroft could be an interesting one.
Yes. Now,
I really rate this kid. He's starting to hit some form. So he had 129 on the weekend, averaging 76. So hopefully that doesn't get up too much, but he's been getting the midfield minutes again coming off the ACL. So he could be priced at about 400K, Dano, and be really, really juicy for next year.
Yep.
Like, really juicy. Let me see. Who else do I really like? Do you have any, Dano?
You're kind of stealing him from me. I wouldn't mind having a look at Jake Soligo.
Oh, that's not bad. This is interesting because he lost his CBAs this week.
And that's what I mean. I'd look at a Jake Soligo. I probably wouldn't pick him. But I'm trying to like think of some names that you haven't already said. I'm just ruling Adam Chera out entirely. That man has he's just fucking dog shit. So
like here's a hypothetical. Here's a hypothetical for you, Dano.
Yep.
If James Peatling gets a trade to a team that needs a midfielder and he is mid only, priced at an average of 65 right now, would you guard him?
Yes, I would go straight for that motherfucker. But in saying that, there are a lot of fallen primos that for next year are going to be priced so fucking juicy that I'd probably go for a whole fallen primo midfield.
So are you talking of a Callum Mills?
I'm talking better than Callum Mills.
Better than Callum Mills. He's one of the best players in the comp when fit.
Yeah, he also rotates around a lot, and we don't know where the fuck he's going to play. Let me rattle off some names for you, Paddo, because
this is
how fucked the fallen primos is going to be next year. Darcy Parrish, 88.3 average.
I don't know how much he can be trusted, Dan. You know?
So because he's played the 10 games, he'll be priced at 88.3 average, right? Then we go up, we creep up a little more. Jai Newcomb, 93.3 average.
Okay.
Breakout contender / fallen primo right there. Yeah, here we go. Then we creep up a bit more. Tim Taranto is priced at 96.1 average.
Now we're talking.
Fucked. It's kind of fucked, isn't it? Will Day is your breakout contender, so we'll skip him. We creep up a little bit more. Connor Rosie, 99.5 average.
He's priced at
600K. He's going to be priced at 99.5 average, right?
Here's my question with Port
Jordan
Adelaide.
Dawson, hang on a second. Jordan Dawson priced at 100.1. Probably we'll skip on him, right? Then we'll get...
I just really want to rewind to Port Adelaide for a second there. So their midfield bat's quite deep, Dano. And if Vaughn Francis is the next sort of big guy in there... they've still got Ollie Wines. Now, he's kind of the odd man out in terms of age profile. Someone's got to move out of that midfield. It's not Ollie Wines. It's been tried, and he's no good anywhere outside of centre bounces. I feel like it's Connor Rosie as a forward that kind of is the odd man out if Vaughn Francis is to make that leap into a full-time midfield.
And you know what? We won't care because we get forward status. So here's one of my breakout contenders. I don't know if you mentioned him. Hayden Young will be mid next year. And since he's played that mid slash forward role, he's gone on a fucking tear. And he will be one to hard to ignore, but he will be priced at an average of 102.7 unless the last two games increase his average. Now, if I told you that you can get Christian Petrarca priced at 103.2, Paddo.
So for the same price, why are you going Young over Petrarca?
This is what I mean. We're talking about fallen primos now.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention Hayden Young as a breakout, but Christian Petrarca is priced at 103.2 average. That's fucked up. So that is some good, good shit.
So I already can't even remember if I mentioned him, but in terms of a breakout, Matt Rowell will almost be my first pick midfielder next year.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair. But yeah, like we're talking, these are they're probably my fallen primos right there. There's a fair fucking few. Like you can keep going down, right? And you go down. Let's go past Darcy Parish. We can go to where have you gone, Huber?
So Oliver's a good one.
Yep. So we got Oliver, but then we go further down. So because he started the year well and then got injured, Stephen Cornelio.
No, he's too old.
Yeah.
What if Finn Callahan gets some more CBAs?
Then what do they do with Cornelio? Anyway, down. We're looking for some real fucked up fallen primo shit here. We'll probably disregard Tom Mitchell. He's done. He's Gonski. Bit further down. I don't think there's really any more worth noting.
Jack McRae at a different club could be interesting.
Yeah.
And he'd be a forward too because he's been playing half forward.
Yeah, true. If Dylan Scheel moves somewhere, he's priced at a 75.9. I know. You got your Will Ashcroft, which you said, which is a breakout contender. Yeah, not really much else.
More so if Alex Neil-Bullen gets his trade, and if Oliver, there's a big rumor of Oliver potentially leaving, I don't think they'll trade Petrarca. Could you look at a Tom Sparrow, Dano?
Well, yeah, he's the one that was drafted as a pure mid, biding his time. So don't mind that.
He almost made the run sheet for this year, but I feel like you need to see it before jumping on. So if he has two, like, 100-plus scores for the rest of this year playing a CBA role, he should hopefully still be available as a forward next year. I feel like he comes into calculations for next year.
I think that they'd rather go to the trade table and bring in someone established. I think that's the way that they'd go.
Well, while they've still got Max Gawn, Stephen May, I think you're silly not to try and jag another premiership.
Yeah, it could be. And this is left field, Paddo. Left field, Luke Parker.
Oh, see, I almost mentioned him before. If he can get a move to a midfield role at a shit team, I don't mind it.
I think that he would be one that Melbourne might actually go after.
I'll tell you what I have a gut feeling of. I feel like he could end up at North.
Yeah, that makes sense. It wouldn't surprise me even if he went somewhere like, let's say a Hawthorn, just to help out with
maybe
young midfield brigade.
Maybe.
Which makes kind of no sense because they went and traded off all of the other mature mids and then trade to bring one in, but...
Hey, well, at least Parker can play forward.
The Gunston moves looked really fucking good. So,
he's been good the last few weeks.
So why not bring in someone that's won a premiership? Because he won one with Sydney. Pretty sure he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Injury discounts, Paddo.
So...
Kind of falls into Parish territory there and Rosie, and they've all got them injury discounts.
Yeah, so... One that could be interesting if he gets a move, Ben Hobbs, not so much an injury discount, but more of a hasn't played enough discount.
Yeah. We can do that. Actually, you know what? We'll change it from injury discount to moving clubs. Kind of discount. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know what position he would be. He's a current forward mid. They have way too many midfielders, so they need to try and move some on. If Ben Hobbs can get a move to a team that's going to give him CBAs, I think he could be a really great option. So he's currently averaging 51 on the season, which will probably make him slightly more expensive than he is right now at 243K.
Yep.
But I think he is a nice prospect.
I've got another couple of names. One's obvious, but he's listed as a forward. That's Bailey Smith.
Yeah, so he should still be a forward next year. So
And
we mentioned
he'll
him last
be,
week.
yeah, and he'll be cheaper than the 448K as well. Another one for you, Will Brody. If Will Brody can
I don't
move on to
see him
another
getting
run.
back into the Fremantle team. So unless he can get a trade somewhere,
Exactly.
I can't see it happening.
That's why I said if he can get traded, we're talking trades and whatnot now, because you brought it up. So, who else we got here that could be a potential? Erasmus has been a kind of a disappointing one, and I guess it's because, again, drafted as a mid, he
Just
kind of
can't
can't
get the
crack in.
minutes.
Yeah, he can't get in there. Let's scroll down a bit.
Now, what if Jack Carroll gets to move somewhere else?
Oh, it's his first year. Not really looking too much into
I
that.
feel like he's been around longer than that.
Jack, no, he's. It was. I think it's like his second or third year in the system, but it's his first year playing. One that really, and
So he was drafted in
this,
2020.
can I just say, this is the one that pisses me off the most. Essendon have a big-bodied motherfucking beast of a midfielder, and they don't play him, and that's Will Setterfield.
And Ben Hobbs.
Yeah, so what the fuck, Essendon? But yeah, I Will Setterfield, and I know he's been, what, this is his third club because he went from GWS to Carlton, Carlton to Essendon. I'd honestly try and find a fourth club. Go to,
I really
honestly,
rate Centerfield.
so do I. He's so fucking good. Honestly, you know who where he should go? It's fucking North Melbourne,
Collingwood.
because they, nah, fuck Collingwood. Go to North Melbourne. They need he's the build quite
Does
similar
Luke
to like a
Davies
Preston
Uniacke play
Sheen.
tennis?
Well, he's gonna move anyway.
Nah, he's not moving.
Hang on. Do you think Luke Davies Uniacke is the same height?
No, I didn't say that, but he's a big mid.
I'm talking fucking monstrous. Hang on, let's see Luke Davies Uniacke height. I want to get into this now. He's 1.88 meters, right? Will Setterfield, I'm pretty sure he's in the 190s. If I'm wrong, I feel like an idiot. Yeah, he's 1.92 meters.
4 centimeters.
Yeah, he's
But
as
there's only one
big.
area, Dano, that makes a big difference, and that's not in height.
But the point is, he's built like fucking Patrick Cripps and whatnot, and North could use that.
Yeah.
Like you get out. Oh yeah. Anyway, that's one that I would love to see happen is Will Setterfield move somewhere to like North Melbourne. He won't though. Fucking.
Yeah, in terms of fallen primos, if he can have an uninterrupted preseason, Callum Mills is someone that I will seriously look at next year.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Considering this spoke's listed as a midfielder and a forward, Caleb Daniel, he's currently priced at 170K.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Average of 41.9. Probably one of the biggest locks if he does get a trade to somewhere and goes back to halfback.
Yeah, 100%.
Other than that, yeah, there's not really too much else that I can see at a quick glance. I got a question for you. Does Richmond trade Hopper and Taranto?
Not Taranto. I don't think there's too much of a market for him, but I think they should try and get rid of Hopper. Because I'm no expert, but I watch the games every week, and even still, even though we're getting pumped every week, I don't think a midfield that comprises of Taranto, Hopper, Prestia, Jack Graham, Ross has been injured, but throw him in there as well. Thompson, Dow, they're all one pace midfielders that don't really have breakneck speed, and it doesn't work in the same midfield. And it's so glaringly obvious that we need some pace in there. Shea Bolton, I think he's checked out. So they've thrown him in there at times, but he doesn't care too much. He's making sure he's good to wear purple next year. Even a Dan Rioli, but he's so fucking good in the halfback line. I don't think it works in the same midfield. You've also got Kane McAuliffe coming back, but he's another one. Like, he's that sort of slower inside guy as well. We really need some outside running that midfield, and you cannot pay Hopper what he's being paid and not play him, especially in a young team. I think you should try and cash him in. It may only get you a second round pick, or maybe you offer him up to an Essendon, even though they don't really need him either, and you try and get a Hobbs off them or a Setterfield. Maybe, or you look at a Carroll from Carlton, but they don't really need him either. Like, it's a real awkward one. but that midfield makeup needs to change a lot. A lot of these guys were dimmer midfielders, and they're not really working together.
Yeah, they need to. Well, they need to get rid of Prestia to say bye bye. He's gone.
Well, Prestia's just signed a 1-year extension, and I think he's going to. Well, I think he's important for some leadership. He'll only play 12 games next year anyway. And Jack Graham's on the way out, former junior captain of South Australia. Jack Ross is sticking around. He's not too bad, but he's another one that doesn't really have the pace needed. All these people that are saying that we should be drafting a Smiley type, like he might end up being the best player in the draft, but he is another Tim Taranto. He's that sort of player, and we need the outside run. That's why we need a Jagger Smith.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, and Jagger Smith would be first pick rookie next year, even at 200K.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. So, again, we start Friday night. It's Essendon versus Sydney at Marvel Stadium. Paddo, who do you have?
So I know people don't like a Friday night VC, but Goulden, I think, is a pretty nice option. With the aforementioned form against Essendon. Heaney looks like he's back as well, had 128 in round two against Essendon, so that would be my two options.
Yeah. Don't like Izaaki Merritt?
No, I think he gets tagged.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't really like anyone else in this game, so not even Grundy.
Move on. No, he's not a CJ.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. Saturday. Gold Coast versus Melbourne at People First Stadium. So I'm going to lock in. If you've got him, I know people would rather loop him on the field, but VC the fuck out of Matt Rael.
And Noah Anderson, either one.
Yeah, honestly, this could be an absolute bully game. Or Sam Flanders. Sam Flanders is probably the obvious choice, but.
I mean, two
sub 100s. Yeah. Bounce back game. Third time's a charm.
Yeah. Maybe. The history against Melbourne isn't good, but that was before he had the good role. So,
yeah,
I don't know. With his form, I don't think you can trust a Flanders VC, but I think you can roll the dice at an Anderson or Rao as a VC.
Yeah. What about Maxi Gawn?
Not against Witts. I think it kind of. I know he's coming off a big game, but Witts is kind of negating his tall. I actually feel like. I need to confirm, but I don't feel like Gawn's record against Jared Witts is all too flash. 130, 88, 138. Well, the 130 wasn't against
Witts. Yeah.
Witts, I don't think. Round eight. Oh, no, Witts played. Oh, no, hang on. That's Brisbane. Well, that was last year. Never mind. Wait, was it? I'm confused.
Anyway, we'll move on. We'll go to Giants versus Fremantle, Paddo, because we don't really like anyone else in that game. Giants versus Frio. Engie Stadium, third versus sixth. I know you're going to be like, no, but I feel like if you had Jesse Hogan, I would chuck the VC on the mofo. I can see the man kicking another bag of four or five. And I can see him clunking so many marks. And I feel like he's got this Coleman, right? And he's got a point to prove, and he want to do that against Frio.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't think you'd VC him. I think you're just happy with a big score.
This is to get into Supercoach Grand Finals too, so I'm thinking outside the box.
But what about Jordan Clark or Luke Ryan?
See, I don't trust Luke Ryan.
Off of 156.
Yeah, I still don't trust him. I feel like it's a spike score. I'd honestly rather trust Hayden Young. Although, in saying that, and this is the thing, I feel like Bedford's definitely tagging, right? All the talk about Hayden Young being the most damaging player in that midfield of Freo at the moment, I feel like they'll tag him. And they'll let
Does Caleb Sarong go off?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Or Andy Brayshaw. I feel like that Kingsley will pull something like that. He'll pull something like... Or he'll just make... The midfield more accountable to Hayden Young and make Bedford go to Sarong.
Fuck, that's a big game, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot going on in this one. But if, again, Luke Jackson solo rucking, if he's solo rucking, fuck yeah. He could go big.
Jackson, yeah, what's his name back? Is Briggs back?
Briggs is back, but he's sore.
Yeah, so
and he could does be good for big numbers against rucks.
Yeah, I just don't know if you'd trust Jackson with a BC coming off an 81 against Geelong rucking.
Fair enough. Any Giants? Lockie Whitfield?
Yeah, Whitfield I don't mind. Tom Green I don't mind. Jared Witts.
Jared Witts plays.
Not Jared Witts. Sons. Jesus.
Fuck, we're having a mare. Oh, shit. Hopefully the Giants don't have a mare. That's it. Move on.
Yep.
Collingwood versus Brisbane. This one's interesting. 4:30 PM.
Lockie Neal for me.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure I like many in this. I feel like they're all going to be Lions players. They've got to bounce back, surely.
You'd think so, but Collingwood do have a lot to play for. They can still mathematically make it.
I feel like when I watched Collingwood with no De Goey in there, they look pathetic.
Yeah, their midfield is not good.
Yeah. Although in saying that, there is actually someone that is another honourable mention that I was going to bring up because I'm considering trading him in.
Oh, no.
Jack Crisp.
Oh, no.
When he plays midfield...
Did he score 60 the other weekend?
He scored like 113 or some shit because he played mid.
Did he?
Yeah. When he plays midfield, he cracks 100, 110 consistently.
So he's had 110 since round 8?
He hasn't been playing midfield every week.
He has. I'm looking at the CBAs right now.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. You tell me. Hang on a second.
I'm looking at the right line this time. But ever since Tom Mitchell went down, Crisp has had, on average, about 70% CBAs.
Wait. Okay, so you were talking round 8?
Yeah.
So how many CBAs, like percentage?
68% against Carlton.
106?
Yep.
Yep.
Round 9, 79%.
134.
Round 10, 81%.
112.
Round 11, 83%.
94.
Round 12, 77%.
117.
Round 13, 91%.
104.
Round 14, 88%.
121.
Round 16, 74%.
That was a 68.
Round 17, 68%.
106.
Round 18, 48%.
See, because he dropped to 48%, he's gone down to 66.
Round 19, 58%.
66.
Round 20, 78%.
61.
Round 21, 69%.
84.
Round 22, 68%.
114.
Mm,
he had a patch there of 4 bad games, and now he's back.
So, yeah, no, we're talking about captains, and Jack Crisp is not a captain.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying I forgot to do him as an honorary.
Yeah, so Neil Dunkley I like against Collingwood.
Yep.
Either one of those. Zorko could be a sneaky one as well.
Mm-hmm.
127 in round 3 against the Pies. Is it the MCG, though?
I wouldn't be touching anyone else. I wouldn't touch Dacos.
No.
Yeah. Move on. Port Adelaide versus Adelaide. Why? I would love to see Adelaide beat Port in this one.
That would be so interesting for the makeup of the finals.
Oh, yeah, baby. Okay. So we're looking at pretty much... Oh, it's still VCs. Still VCs.
Yeah, I mean, there should be plenty of loophole options, especially if you've got any Carlton players.
Well, you got West Coast versus Carlton in the last round.
Yeah.
You got your North Melbourne versus Bulldogs in the third last round. So, yeah. Cool. Okay. What Adelaide versus Adelaide? Zach Butters, yay, nay.
Yay.
Connor Rosie, yay, nay.
Yay.
Jason Horne-Francis, yay, nay.
Nay, not for a VC.
Okay. Rory Laird?
No.
I don't really like too many Adelaide ones. I feel like in a showdown, Jordan Dawson might pull his finger out.
What about Phil Thorpe?
Oh, my boy.
Riley O'Brien? You know if you bring Riley O'Brien in VCM.
You know I'm picking Phil Thorpe next year.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yep.
Jordan Sweet just conceded 180 odd to the ruck. Kerry. So, no, to Gorn.
Oh, that was 177. Yep.
Yeah. So, Riley O'Brien, if you do bring him in, could be a nice VC.
Woo! I'm going to make a name for myself. anyone else?
Not in this one.
No. Okay. St Kilda versus Geelong, 7:30 PM, Marvel Stadium. Jack Sinclair.
Absolutely.
Jack Sinclair. Oh, lock it in, Eddie.
Yeah, played half back on the weekend. Actually, what's the CBA numbers? I watched the game and he was in defense the whole game pretty much, so it won't be very high, I would say. Where is he? Sinclair, 0% CBAs. So that is exactly what we want. And that's Jack Sinclair roaming around in that halfback line doing whatever the fuck he wants.
In marking.
If you need any more encouragement, Geelong conceded 156 to Luke Ryan on last weekend, and Jordan Clark got 138. Sort of two defensive guys who go around and do whatever they want in defense, and Geelong let them do that because they won the game. So Jack Sinclair is my VC.
Yeah,
I
100%.
captained him on the weekend. I thought I'd get more than 123. I had the VC on Harry Sheezel, so I did get 1 point out of that. So that was great. But yeah, Jack Sinclair could go nuts against the Cats on the weekend.
Yeah. Now we move on to captain territory, Sunday's game.
Well,
So
sorry, I like Rowan Marshall, as I said before, in this one as well. Yeah. And maybe Jeremy Cameron, but that's way too risky.
and Tom Stewart.
Oh, Tom Stewart's the other one. Yeah. So either Stewart or Sinclair, I think, are great options.
Yep. Sunday's game, C territory here. Western Bulldogs versus North Melbourne at Marvel.
Easy, easy. Cherry.
Oi. Oi. Yeah, I love that. Fuck me. Imagine starting Cherry this year, Paddo. Fucking
Yeah. Also,
Jesus.
in round 16, which was the last time the Dogs played the Kangaroos, Bont had 157. So I don't think he's a horrible backup option if you don't have Cherry.
Yeah, what about Adam Treloar?
Oh, stop it.
No, I'm never going to stop it because the man is slaying.
Sure.
Thank you.
How do you?
Appreciate it. Nah, fuck it, Treloar.
Bont is a better option for a C.
Oh yeah. If you got Bont,
You could still easily VC in this game.
potentially.
If you're at your TV.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll
You
move
know what
on, mate.
sucks? You know what sucks? I'll be watching the shit game this day. I'll be watching Richmond get battered by Hawthorn.
Well, that's the next one. So Richmond getting battered by Hawthorn at the MCG in Hawthorn's home game.
Dylan Moore.
As a C is the most ballsy motherfucking move, especially trying to get into Supercoach Grand Final.
So I actually remember Moore only had 74 against Richmond early this year, which is very interesting.
Yeah, this, and we got to think of context here. If you're going for rank and don't care about leagues, sweet. But if you're in leagues, this is the big, and you're still in your final, like to try and get in the grand final, like myself. You need to nail the fuck out of your VCC this week, but you also need to make it unique.
So yeah, I've got someone that's only in 16,000 teams, so 9% of the overall competition. He scored a 147 against this team last time, which is round 14, and that is James Sicily.
Woo!
And last year he had 171 against Richmond, and the year before that was
Jesus.
141. So
That is fucking hectic.
yeah, averages 112 against Richmond in 8 games.
Jesus Christ. Oh, there's your massive POD C.
I've overlooked this because he plays Richmond and North Melbourne in his last two, so he should be in the run sheet. Another honourable mention.
Yep,
Nathan
100%. Anyone else? Or not? Nah, just going
Curtis, maybe.
to
Don't think you'd see him, though.
no. I'll move on.
Yep.
Last game. West Coast versus Carlton. I don't like anyone
So if
in this
Cripps
game.
doesn't play midfield like you predict, Dano, I don't mind Sam Walsh.
No, don't trust that man with a C.
Even against West Coast?
Even against West, I reckon West Coast's going to beat him. I'm
Wow.
with you.
So Jake Waterman?
Fuck, man, he could pop off for a 170. Let's go.
Yeah.
Honestly, don't like anyone in this game. Wouldn't trust him with the C. Hopefully,
No,
actually,
Jeremy
no, the
McGovern then.
nah, not even Jeremy McGovern, because I don't reckon the ball's going to get down there enough. I reckon they are going to absolutely shell shock the fuck out of him. Here's one for you, Paddo, as a C.
So doesn't Cripps average nuts over in WA?
Yeah, but I reckon he's going to play forward. But listen to my C, Cohen Livingston. There, lock him in, because your VC will fucking hit.
Like it. So Patrick Cripps averages 122 at Optus Stadium.
Yeah, and I don't reckon. I honestly, I'm so adamant that he's going to play forward.
Well, he still could be fine up forward.
True. I just, yeah, hopefully your VC pops off. I just don't trust anyone in this game. I'm sticking by it.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dogs North matchup is really nice for a C anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's going to, most people are going to have a different VC, but everyone's going to have Bont as C, I reckon, or Tristan.
Bont or Cherry. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have Cherry, it's going to be Bont. So.
Yeah. And if you don't have both, I don't know what you're doing still playing Supercoach. Yeah. Why are you still listening?
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, Pato, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Actually, before we go, Pato, we'll just go around the leagues because we haven't actually done that because we're going into fucking grand final territory. So let's go to Supercoach Co-Captains League One. So we've got Waltzy's Weapons, number one on the ladder, playing That'll Do Dunkley, Michael's team, number six on the ladder. And then Tate's The Replacements is playing My Team, I Done Got a Boner in order to get into the grand final. Then we look at Supercoach Co-Captains League 2, because I fucking sucked last week, I'm out. Daniel's team, Export, plays Sully's Superstars, which is Nathan's team, to get into the grand final. And then Boner Ball, Ben's team, plays Rough Pies. And honestly, fucked that up. We could have had I Done Got a Boner versus Vulnerable Grand Final, and I fucked it, Pato. That was my bad. Yeah. And we'll just quickly go over the top five in the Supercoach Co-Captains Open. So, number one ranked team at the moment with an overall rank of 320 is Josh's team, Rough Pies. Then team number two is Tate's The Replacements, overall rank of 738. He's hanging in the top 1K, Pato. Then we got Raging Bonner, Kevin's team number three, 943 overall rank. Then we've got Daniel's team Export with an overall rank of 1,638. And then we've got finally Vinny's team Plunkball, 1,812. Yeah. So there's that, Pato. So we've got an ultimate finals week coming at ya. Oh, fuck. I forgot a league. hang on. Because somehow I'm still alive in this. So in the AFL Podmasters one league, Pato, I'm still alive. So it's the Phantom versus Janeth from the third man up. And then my team, I Done Got a Boner, is up against DR's team, the DR's Rusty Spoons, to get into the grand final.
Wow.
And then I don't know how we're going in Podmaster Seed 2.
You lost in that.
Yeah, good. I was getting scared. Alrighty. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing.
Fuck off.